We're coming to gather around the Word of God tonight, and we're turning in our Bibles to the book of the Psalms, and the Psalm number 51. Let's read the Word of God tonight, and let's come reverently to God's precious Word, and expect that the Lord will speak to our hearts even as we open the Scriptures, and the Lord will bless this Word to our hearts. That is Psalm 51, and we'll commence reading at that opening verse of this passage of God's Word. It's the Psalm of David. And of course, it was at the time the prophet Nathan came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba and had sinned grievously against the Lord. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy pleasure, the good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And we know that God will add his blessing to reading of his precious word, and with his word open before us. Now, when it comes to the study of God's precious word, there are many ways that you can study the word of God. Sometimes people take a book and they go from chapter to chapter, they go from verse to verse, and they study that book through, and they follow it right through to the end. Sometimes they take a verse and the preacher says, well, my text is. And they simply take that little verse and they will use it rightly and do as the Word of God says, rightly divide the Word of truth. Sometimes you can take a theme and follow a theme through the Scriptures, because indeed you can take the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll find it right there as the coat was given to Adam in the garden, but the blood had to be shed. And of course, the Word of God reminds us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I want us to take a little word tonight, and I want to follow it through just a few passages of God's precious Word. And I trust that God will make it a blessing to our hearts. The word is found in verse number 6, or verse number 5, rather. It's also found in verse 6 of this 51st Psalm. It says there in verse number 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And then it says, "Behold," verse 6, "thou desirest truth in the inward part." And so the word that I want us to look at this evening, it is an arresting word. It is a word that in actual fact confronts us and stops us in our tracks. And I believe that as we take a look at this little word and take it in its context, we will find indeed a blessing from the Lord Himself. In verse 5 it says, "Behold," or "look here," look. But stop and look. And I pray that the Spirit of God will do that very thing, that the Spirit of God will stop us. And that as we look at the book, that the Spirit of God will apply the Word to our hearts, and that God will let us see that we'll look at our hearts. And that the Lord will indeed search our hearts. "Behold," he says, "look, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now there is a look, my friend, that takes my pride away. It's a look that takes my pride away. Now of course when it says there in verse number 5, "in sin did my mother conceive me," that does not mean that we were born outside of wedlock. But what it does mean, that every one of us tonight in this meeting, every one of us in the sight of God were born the same way, naturally. We are born, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In other words, we have a nature, a sinful nature. And the Word of God reminds each and every one of us, as David acknowledged in this psalm, God brought him face to face with his sin. Now the interesting word, sin, is simply three little letters, S-I-N. Notice the little one in the middle, I. And friend, that is indeed reality of what sin is. It is the I in our lives. It is the sinful nature, the me, the real heart of me. It is the sinful I. I want my way instead of God's way. I'll do my thing instead of what God commands in his precious word. And that's how man's living. He's living for self. It is that old selfish nature right from his birth. You know, you take a little child. I've often used this as an illustration. When I look at the children that God gave Anne and I never have to teach one of my children to tell a lie. Now, maybe yours are different. Maybe you doubt it. But nevertheless, not one of my children do I have to teach to tell a lie. I never had to tell them to take something that didn't belong to them. Maybe it was a pencil. Maybe it was a sweet. It wasn't theirs. But they just slipped their hand in and they took it. And maybe whenever you said, "Who took that?" And they said, "I didn't." Because they didn't want to own up. But listen, friend, they did. But you know, it's amazing. We have to teach our children how to read. We have to teach our children how to spell. We have to teach our children how to add, but we don't have to teach them how to lie. We don't have to teach them how to sin. Do you know why? There we get it in this verse. "Behold," look here, look. It says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We are sinners by nature. I am not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I am a sinner. And friend, let me tell you, that's a humbling thing. People don't want to face the reality that they are sinners. In actual fact, people get very annoyed whenever a preacher stands up and calls them a sinner. Who does he think he is? I'll tell you who the preacher is, friend. Just the same as you, a sinner. Saved by grace, but a sinner. We all started on the same level. The Word of God says there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to turn. Keep your hand there, but turn to 1 John chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, it says this, if you go down in verse number 8. That is 1st Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In other words, we're lying. And the man that turns around and says, how dare the preacher say that I'm a sinner, I have no sin. The Word of God says we only deceive ourselves. Now it's true that people want to deceive others. You want perhaps to portray yourself in the light that you're not really. And you want others to think about you that you're not. And that's deceiving others. But here's something different. This is deceiving yourself. Here's a man who's got so far down, he's got so low, he is willing to deceive himself. And yet the tragedy is this, my friend, the multitude of society is doing that very thing. They are deceiving themselves today because they do not believe that they need to be saved. They do not believe they need Jesus Christ. They do not believe they need the precious blood to cleanse them from their sin because they're going to make it to heaven themselves. And they will try to work their way to heaven. And yet the Word of God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're strangers to the truth. And if there's anyone in this meeting tonight that you don't think that you need to be saved, friend, I want to tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the authority of God's Word, you are deceiving yourself. Never mind anybody else. You deceive yourself. My, that's a serious thing. What an awful eye-opener in the day of judgment to stand before God and to realize all the time you were a condemned sinner on your way to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet you say, we have no sin. Now go down to verse number 10 of that same chapter. If we say we have not sinned, we have not sinned, we make him a liar. That's God. We're calling God a liar. And his word is not in us. Now, why is that? Why does it say that? Why are we calling God a liar? It says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him or we call God a liar. Why? You say, I wouldn't dare do that. I wouldn't call God a liar. I wouldn't stand in the sight of God Almighty and say that you're a liar. Let me tell you, my friend, you don't have to say a word. Because if you think in your heart that you have not sinned and therefore you don't need to be saved, you don't need the Savior, you don't need the blood of Christ to cleanse you from it. If you say you have not sinned, you make God a liar. Why? Why? Because in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 it says this, God says, all have sinned. All have sinned. And if we say we have not sinned, in other words, we're challenging God's Word. And His Word, it says, His Word is not in us because His Word says there is no difference. No difference. The queen in the throne, the pauper in the street, friend. No difference. That's a solemn reality. No difference. We sing the wee chorus, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. But let me tell you, all are sinners in His sight. And there's no difference. There is no difference. Doesn't matter what your upbringing is. Doesn't matter where you hang your hat. Listen, thank God you've come to a Free Presbyterian Church. But let me tell you, friend, coming to a Free Presbyterian Church doesn't take away your sin. It's Christ that does that. And it's only the Lord Jesus Christ that does, as we see in a moment. But here we find the psalmist going back to Psalm 51. If you look at it, it says here, have mercy upon me, O God, verse number 1. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, listen to this, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And friend, that's a humbling thought, that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in the sight of God. Verse 3 says, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin. My sin. Notice the two words, my sin. You know, we live in a day and an age that everybody else is to blame. It's lovely to point the finger and say, listen, it's not my fault, it's his or hers. I want to tell you, friend, it's your sin. My sin. David cries out, he says, I acknowledge my transgressions. He says, my sin is ever before thee, against or before me, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. And here's a question. Have you humbled yourself before God and acknowledged your sinfulness in the sight of God Almighty? Because friend, if you haven't, I tell you before God, you will never be saved. Until first of all you see yourself as a sinner. You will never know the pardoning grace of God until you know first of all that you're a lost, hell-deserving, ill-deserving sinner. What did the psalmist David do? Did he call himself out and his merits and says, listen, I'm this, I'm that? No, no. He says, God, have mercy upon me. It wasn't merit he was pleading. It was mercy he was pleading. And that's what we need, my friend. We need the mercy of God according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies. You know, there's two words in the scriptures. There's mercy and there's grace. They're not the same. The grace of God means this. Great riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. The grace of God. And it means that it is something, God's mercy, God's grace is giving to you what you do not deserve. God is gracious in that he gives you what you don't deserve. But what about God's mercy? God's merciful in that he doesn't give you what you do deserve. On the one hand, his God is gracious. He gives you what you do not deserve. He gives us his love. He gives us his compassion. He gives us his salvation. He gives us his pardon. He gives us his peace. Oh, my friend, he loadeth us, is what the psalmist says. He loadeth us with benefits. As a child of God, there's a load of mercies, blessings. And he gives it. We don't deserve it. Don't deserve it. But thank God he's merciful. He doesn't give us what we do deserve. We deserve hell. We deserve damnation. We deserve punishment for our sins. We deserve separation from God forever, friend, because that's what sin does. And yet, thank God, God's merciful. Do you know what the psalmist does? He throws himself on the mercy. He throws himself on the mercy of God. And he says, have mercy upon me. Oh God. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Is there someone in this meeting tonight? Friend, you've never done that. You've never thrown yourself upon the mercy of God. Let me tell you, if God gives you what you deserve, you'll be in hell forever. If God had given me what I deserved, I would be there too. Or on the way. Thank God he brought me to that place where I acknowledged my sin. My sin. Do you remember whenever Adam and Eve were in the garden? And when God confronted Adam with his sin and he says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam says, Lord, I was afraid. He heard the voice of God in the garden and he hid himself. Because he had sinned against God. He had defiantly sinned against God. And God challenged Adam concerning where he was, what he had done. You know what Adam said? The woman. She gave me, and I did eat. In other words, God, it's not my fault, it's hers. And Adam hid behind Eve. He blamed her because the woman, she gave me. And I did eat. But he went further. And this is how deep sin is, friend. Let me tell you, don't you think sin's something on the surface? Sin's heart deep. This is what he said to God. He says, God, the woman that you gave me, she gave me an eye to date. In other words, God, it's not only her fault, it's your fault. Because if you hadn't have given me that woman, I'd have never taken the fruit. Friend, let me tell you this. Imagine him lifting his finger in the face of God Almighty. After defying the God of heaven, after defying and deliberately sinning against God, and he says, God, the woman you give me, it's her fault, it's your fault, it's not mine. David cried out in the psalm, friend. He says, I acknowledge my transgressions. And then he said this, my sin. And friend, let me tell you, you'll never take another step toward the Lord until you take that first step of confessing, behold, God, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. That's my nature. My sin. And friend, that's the first look. And if you're ever going to be saved, let me tell you, if you're unsaved now, if you're ever going to be saved and get to heaven, you've got to take that first step and let the Spirit of God open up the Scriptures and search your very heart and come in agreement with God. My sin. Against thee only have I sinned. Because remember, that's the essence of all sin. It's rebellion against God. Oh yes. David sinned against Bathsheba and sinned with Bathsheba. He sinned against his nation. He sinned against his kingship. He sinned against his family and loved ones. But listen, far greater than that, his sin was against God. Friend, we must be honest before God tonight. Here's the first look that we need to take. The sense of sin. You know, see, we're living in a day and an age. The Bible says fools make a mock of sin. And people can sin away. And let me tell you, what used to be hidden in the corner now is done brazen, brass-necked, red in your face. And that's where sin is today in this society in which we're living, friend. When you watch the television, they're sitting at you. Sin staring you in the very face. And many people do not see the seriousness of it. Sin is an offense against the God of heaven. The God that made you. The God that gave you breath. The God that gave you life. And David acknowledges, against thee, the only, have I sinned. My friend, if you take that first step and you see yourself as a sinner, then you ask this question. Well, I'm a sinner. What can I do? Is there any hope for me? Is there any answer? Is there any antidote for my sin? Or am I left with my sin and left to endure the punishment and the suffering and the hell that's due for my sin? That's where you turn your Bible now to John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, we take a stand with John the Baptist. And John is standing there and he's preaching in John chapter 1. Look at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, there's the word again. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 35, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God." And friend, if the first look that we get is a look that takes our pride away, the second look is a look that takes our sin away. It's the look of faith. Where do we get that? Behold the Lamb of God. You see, one day John, who was a popular preacher, and people went out after John and they listened to John and they came for John's baptism. And as the multitude were going there to meet John and listen to John, and John was standing in the crowd and he looked in the distance and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the distance and he stopped. And as the people's gaze were upon John, John stopped in his preaching and he said, "Look! Look, people! Look! There's the Lamb of God! Look at him. Look to him. Because that's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And thank God, friend, there's a look that takes our sins away. If we confess our sins, if we acknowledge that we're sinners, but friend, listen, look, see, there's a Savior. There's a Savior from sin. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what the angel said unto Joseph? He said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." It's interesting. That's the only word in the whole of the Bible that Joseph is recorded of having spoken. Thou shalt call his name. Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people. What? From their sins. Their sins. Thank God he's a Savior. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." And John saw the Lord, friend. He got a vision of Christ. And my, he was not willing simply to look, but he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. He pointed the attention of the crowd away from him. Tonight, let me tell you, I can't save you. And the church can't save you. And baptism can't save you. And confirmation can't save you. And the communion rail can't save you. Listen, there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. I love the old chorus we used to sing. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save. He came. And when we call him Savior, then we call him. We call him by his name. Tell me. Answer this question, friend. Is he your Savior? You see, whenever you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he is the shepherd. And the Bible calls him the good shepherd. And the Bible calls him the great shepherd of the sheep. The Bible calls him the chief shepherd. Those are wonderful thoughts. And you study them. Every one of them has a different emphasis. Good shepherd. The great shepherd, the chief shepherd. But what did David call him? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And friend, that's different. You could know all about the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you don't know him as your Savior, then you're lost. If you don't know him as your Lord and Master, then you're still in your sin. And in your sin, let me tell you, that sin will separate you from God, not only in time, but that sin will separate you from God forever. you'll be lost in a Christless eternity. Do you remember the story in the book of Genesis? Do you remember the father and son, Abram and Isaac, that were making their way? God said to Abram, "Abram, I want you to take your son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest." And God says, "I want you to take him to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him upon the altar." I tell you, if you got a message from God, friend, to tell you to do that, tell me, wonder what you would do. Wonder what I would do. Oh, it's easy to sing, "Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy all upon the altar." God says, put your son on the altar. You know what the Bible says about Abram? Early in the morning, he saddled the ass. He was willing to go through with God. And early in the morning, he saddled his ass and he took his son. And they made their way to Mount Moriah. And when they came to the mount, he left his servants and the ass there. And he and his son went to the place of sacrifice. And as they were going up the hill, Isaac turned to his father and he said, "Father, we've got the wood, the fire. I have even got the knife. Where's the lamb?" Oh, the old man knew what God had said to him. And yet he said this in faith. Listen carefully to what he said, friend. God will provide himself the lamb. Now let's go back over the centuries. Let's come to John the Baptist standing. And he's standing there in that crowd, and the crowd's looking at him, and they're listening to him, and their eyes are fixed upon him. And then he cries out from the very depths of his soul to the crowd, "Look! There's the Lamb! There's the Lamb of God." Abraham, or Isaac, asked, "Where's the Lamb?" John said, "There's the Lamb." Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And one day the Lord Jesus climbed Mount Calvary. And there on that center cross, he shed his precious blood to take away our sins. The Bible says he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He died that I might be forgiven. He died to make me good, that I might go at last to heaven, saved with his precious blood. There was none other good enough to pay that price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And then we sing, "Oh dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood and seek his work to do." Father, where's the Lamb? And friend, in faith, Abram said these words, "God will provide himself the Lamb." And that's what God did at Calvary for God's Son. God, a very God, man, a very man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Have you looked to him? Have you, friend? The eye of faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's only one can save you. Nobody else can do it, friend. And you'll never get to heaven without him. For Jesus says, "I am the way." He says, "I am the truth." He says, "I am the life." And then he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there's no other way to heaven, friend. Oh, behold him tonight. Look. Isaiah the prophet wrote these words, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God. It's God's word, friend. Look unto me. You've got to look to the Lord. And the first look takes my pride away. The second look takes my sins away. Very quickly. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, there's that word again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Thank God that takes my excuses away. See, some men and women say to me, but listen, if I come to the Lord and I call upon the Lord and I look to the Lord, will the Lord really save me? How can I be sure? Listen, God says in his word, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Standing, he says, I'm knocking. He's on the outside. If any man hear my voice and open that door, he says, I will come into him. Not I might, not maybe. Not perhaps. By the devil wants to put doubts in your mind. But it's dead uncertain. I will come into him. And I will sup with him and he with me. What does that mean, friend? Well, I've been a preacher. It's hard to believe this. Next year, in 2018, next year, I held my first mission in Macrofelt. 50 years ago. Imagine, I can hardly believe it. 50 years ago. And friend, in those years, let me tell you, I visited many homes, and when you go into the home, and maybe you're sitting there for a wee while, and maybe the lady of the home, she says, she just slips out. And you know your mind, you know she's slipping out, well, you're hoping what she's slipping out for. She's going to put the kettle on. Maybe you can get a gunk sometime, but never, most times you don't. It happens that way. And she slips out and she puts on the kettle and she comes in and the tea, listen, and they're around that cup of tea, friend. And I will say, you're not having one for yourself. And together around that tea, we can have friendship and fellowship together. And God says in his precious word, he says, if any man open that door, he says, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he will sup with me. In other words, we'll have fellowship together. Let me tell you, friend, the Lord speaks to me through his word. That's how God talks to me, through his blessed word. And I talk to him in prayer. We have fellowship, the one with the other. Are you in fellowship with the Lord tonight? Are you enjoying the fellowship with God? Notice it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Fellowship with him. Remember what old Eli said to young Samuel. He says, Samuel, lie down. And if God calls thee again, say, speak, Lord. For thy servant heareth. Do you hear his voice? John chapter 10, the good shepherd. Listen. He calleth his own sheep by name. He goeth before them. He leadeth them out. They hear my voice. And they follow me. Now, I've been reared on a farm. And I can tell you this, my friend, sheep are quite stupid animals. And you could stand at the gate of the field and call the sheep. And mind you, if you think that they're just going to walk out after you, it doesn't often happen. But if you're to go to Israel tonight, that's exactly what happens. If you're to walk, if you're to stand there in Israel and you watch the shepherd boy, where's the shepherd boy? Is he, as we talk about kept the sheep? No. He doesn't. He goes before them. And you'll see the shepherd walking in the front, and you'll see the line of sheep walking after. The shepherd goes before the sheep. Why? They know the shepherd's voice. Have you heard his voice today? Are you living in fellowship with him? For thank God, friend, you can. Because Jesus says, if you're not saved, listen. If any man, woman, boy, girl, any hear my voice and open that door, I will come in. And I'll sup with him. And he with me. Now, yes, behold. And here's the last one, and then we're through. And Revelation chapter 22. And the book's about to close. In Revelation chapter 22 and the verse number 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then here's another fine behold. We have the first one. It takes our pride away. The second one takes our sin away. The third one takes our excuses away. The last one takes us away. Because when Jesus comes, then God will go out to meet him. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Just to look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he'll take me by the hand and he'll lead me through the promised land. What a day. Behold, he says, behold, look, I come quickly. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then it says this, and they that were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. Did you get it, friend? They that were ready went in with him. Are you ready? If you're not, I pray in God's name tonight that you'll call upon the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.